Happy Monday, everybody. Dr. Jason Dean, Brave TV, your source for health, freedom, and knowledge. I don't know what the hell is going to happen this week. I can tell you this. The world is nuts, but I'm understanding it more and more. We're going to jump right into this because there's a lot of podcasting going out there. There's lots of shows going out there. And as we've discussed so many times now, there's the bullshit and there's the real stuff. And if you can't prove out or show documentation, or it's not even that really, it's the intuition of what's really going on and showing everybody your backup for what you're talking about. One of my favorite people to follow, watch, she's been on before, is Sarah Westall, because she gets it. She gets it. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, Jason. Very good. And I loved your intro. I like the student of life, you know, really figuring it out. I love that.
Yeah, it's so funny story. Over the weekend, my wife had to go out of town for a day, and my daughter had a birthday party. And I routinely joke, Sarah, that I'm like, I don't do normie world very well. Like, it's a struggle for me. Like, I just, and so my wife's like, you got to take her. I'm like, how long do I have to be at this thing? It's like, who are they? Whatever. So I had to take her, and she had a blast, but it was like a couple hours. And I'm so used to sitting down with documents and books and papers and reading and studying, and even as a business owner like you, like I try to stay in the creative flow as much as I possibly can all day long on what's a new idea, how do we do this over here for this business, wait, I see something over here, let me study, read this, etc. And are you the same way? Like, I really struggle, and it's not because I can't be in the public, because I go in the public, I'm in the public every day, but where you and I and many of our colleagues are, it is a struggle, because it's like we live in two different universes between what we're doing and what the world is doing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, my husband always says that I am at the forefront of what's going on, so I have to get used to being, you know, whenever you're cutting the paths, you aren't treated that well because you're a messenger of something different, right?
Right.
And it's very hard for me because I can't not be there. But right. Yet I know that it's so alienating in the general public, but I know the general public needs it so bad that I'm willing to sacrifice. People don't understand. This isn't me just being in the, you know, limelight. This is me sacrificing my, you know, the regular world doesn't see me with integrity. Right. And they don't, they're always fighting me because it's a message that they're not always ready to handle and accept, but it really needs to get out there because it's for their benefit. And so we're doing, it's kind of like a tough love thing for your children. You're doing it because you love them, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you're sacrificing your own, you know, reputation and legitimacy. You know, within our circles, we have respect, but in the general world, you know, it's really hard.
I do. I know people, as still a practicing doctor, I'll be in practice. And, you know, a lot of my people are, you know, patriotic because they see me online. So they end up coming to the office because they want to be with someone who's aligned.
Sure.
But then I'll have people like, they'll say like, what's going on? What do you think's going on? And I go, and I have to consciously go, okay, where do I think this person is and what can they handle?
That's right.
And so I'll literally go, okay, like, how deep, like, what do you kind of know in 30 seconds? And then I have to choose almost the level of where they're at and then go kind of a level above. But I have to be very cautious not to go full off my ledge, which my ledge is like super
deep. You're way out there. Yeah.
Right. So I think that's my challenge. Like, I don't have a problem with the public. It's more of what level am I going with this? And then, because if you can't go deep enough, Sarah, you also feel like, okay, I'm just sitting here. I can't say much because I like these people aren't anywhere near where we are. And that's not being negative. That's just because you don't want to hurt anybody, right?
They don't have the foundation. And so, but it's hard because different people are at different levels. Like, I can have the same conversation with somebody who's been studying for a while or just has more life experience.
Right.
And so you can have a really a deeper conversation. But if you're with a college kid that's in kind of a woke university setting, they have no foundation of anything. And right. So it's like, where do I even start? I don't even know where to start. I mean, honestly, I mean, those college kids in a woke university, and I don't even like the word woke. I don't like it, but it kind of gives people an idea of what I'm talking about. But they've been so brainwashed and put into this little wrapper that it is, I mean, you just don't even know where to start with some of that. And I don't know, where do you start? You know, my kids are so much further along because they've, you know, but they feel alienated a lot of times because they're like, Mom, because they're in that, they have to deal with people like that.
Yeah. No, you know,
they're better at it than I am.
I know. So like my daughter's 10, right? She's grown up with two very awake parents, right? And so, because my wife is on the same level I am, like understanding this. She doesn't mm-hmm. stay in, she doesn't do podcasts on it because she stays in her world. She helps other people do other things, but
sure.
But she, like, we're in the same world. So I'm literally like, I'm driving this morning with my daughter and she's 10, and we're listening to consciousness podcasts and dimensions and everything else. And so she's 10 and she's asking questions on dimensions and consciousnesses and all, like, so it's strange because like that's where she is. And she's actually asking questions on things that adults aren't talking about. So it is a very odd world to live in, this world. But at the same time, I wouldn't change it for anything.
No. Yeah. And I can't.
Right.
You can't. Right. It's like who you are. Right. But, you know, I think even with my kids, though, I shelter them a little bit. Like, I don't go, like, you probably just are like, whatever, I'm giving it all.
I do. It's bad. You're probably doing a better job than I am.
I don't know. I don't, you know.
Are your kids older or younger?
I don't know. They're older. One's 27 and one's 23. And so I don't.
You don't look like you could have that old of kids. You do well. Good job.
Thank you. But so I don't, because there's so much traumatic stuff to share with them too. And they have to live in the world. Right.
Right.
But they're in a circle of very accomplished people. Right.
Yeah.
And they get a mix of people who are kind of in a, like a, with their blinders on to people who are really inquisitive, who are on maybe not quite where they're at because they didn't live with me, you know what I mean? But who really want to learn these things. And so that is really soulful for them. They really love that. But then they also have to learn, they had to deal with the kids that have been pretty much brainwashed in a little wrapper. And so they've gotten really good at dealing with that. And you know, whereas I haven't, and I don't, that's where we're sheltered almost more so because we're in this environment of really trying to unleash our understanding in our mind and we're flourishing in that way, but yet we're not necessarily developing the skills we need to help this brainwashed group of people get out of that, those shackles. You know, how do we break that brainwashing umbrella that they're in? And that is a challenge that we need to overcome as a society so that I refuse to say these people are a lost cause. It's not their fault that they were in this.
It's true.
This, you know, and so I refuse to buy into that. And I say, well, how do we keep breaking that down? And more of those people are peeling off and breaking through and they're at different stages of their development. And we are too, right? I mean, let's be honest, nobody knows everything. And so I'm in a different stage than you are. And you're, you know, we're all learning and we're just a little bit farther along than the people who are in this, you know, locked in environment. And I think you know, people who are in universities are almost in more of a locked environment than others.
Yeah.
And they have no idea how confining a university environment is. A university should be a place where you unleash your mind and you learn and explore.
I know, it's such the opposite, just regurgitation. Yeah. There's no, like, shouldn't college be just like taking a topic and everyone sits down and discusses and then go, hey, go research this, like on your own, not our books, go research, like we have resources, but like go research and let's come back and let's just have a dialogue on this stuff.
That's right. And the fact is that Google, if you go research that way, it used to 15 years ago, 10 years ago, it was rich, and they've slowly, now it's just this terrible resource.
It's such garbage. I mean, Google,
it's so bad. You can't find what you're looking for. And in fact, it's a brainwashing machine. We know that. And I think Google's one of the most evil companies on the planet right now. And because of the blood they have on their hands from hiding people, if you're hiding people from information that can help them live and prosper, then you're evil. And they're doing it actively. And so I think that's just inherently evil. But I don't know how else to describe it. Maybe there's even a better word than evil, right? But and so you want people to learn how to be critical thinkers, and they're stifling it.
Sure.
But exactly what you're saying is that these kids need to grow and learn, and they're not able to. I spent some time recently with some bisexual youth and youth that are, in that world, LGBTQ, mm-hmm. right? And I had some interesting interactions. I don't judge people by that. I don't care if someone's gay. I'm just going to leave that out there. I don't care. That's not how I judge people. But I do have a super issue with the transgender agenda. Anytime there's 100%. A top-down agenda, this top-down agenda, because why can't you accept the body that you're in? And so they have this warped thing. It's a propaganda thing where they're trying to convince them that changing your body is accepting who you are, which is the opposite of, and so that to me is an agenda. And I tried to communicate that with them, that them trying to tell you that changing your body is being who you are is just anti-intuitive.
You can't make a physical change to a soul problem.
That's what I mean. You were physically born with this body. I don't care if you're a masculine woman or I have a female body and are masculine, or a masculine, or I have a male body and are feminine. I don't care. That's fine. That's who you are. Great. But to change your body to match that is, and to tell you you're not good enough in the body you're in, that to me is an evil agenda.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's me saying, I love you and accept you for who you are. If you're a feminine person in a male body, I still love you. You right. don't have to change your body. And they think that, using your own constructs against you is what they're doing. 100%. It's a very obvious agenda. They're using their constructs against them, and then they're changing their body, and then they're going to feel like crap the rest of their life.
And shouldn't there be people like you and others who are in that, potentially connected to that world or understand it, helping these people who are legitimately, whether male, female, or whatever they think they are, helping them to get the areas or avenues of help to help them with the actual spiritual problem they're dealing with, not the physical manifestation of what they think they are, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, and not the spiritual help where they say, we need to change you
right.
because you're, because I think that's another using their construct, the Christians using the construct against them to
when
say
I say spiritual,
that
I'm not just
bad.
Leaving it to Christian or religion. I'm just saying the actual conscious spiritual thing that they came into this world and they're having an issue.
Absolutely. And so, and learning that you are good the way you are. If you're naturally feminine, you're fine. If you're naturally masculine, you're fine, but you don't need to change your body. We still love you. And whatever you are is fine, but you don't have, changing your body is changing who you are. Mm-hmm. And if they're trying to tell you that, in the world around you is telling you that changing your body is the right thing to do, then you might be in the wrong group. But that message did not go over well, but I'm hoping they, because they're so brainwashed to think that being a transgender is good. And in fact, I heard that, at some of these universities, even ones you don't think would be this way, they cheer on people who are transgender. I mean, all the kids are cheering on somebody who, in mass, who got a transgender surgery. It's cool to be a transgender. And they've created a culture. They've made it cool. So what happens is all these young people who want to fit in, who's confused about their sexuality, maybe they're gay, they're confused about it. They want to fit in, or even somebody who's not gay, they just want to fit in. And so they end up convincing themselves there's something they're not, and then they'll do something they're not, because we're not accepting them for who they are. The number one thing is we need to accept people for who they are, and they've inversed that. And claim that accepting people for who they are is to change themselves. And it couldn't be more evil, right? It's a spiritual thing. Totally. And I think the backlash is, and they know this was what's going to happen. They knew that the far right, if you will, I don't like those terms because I think it's the right left. You know what I mean?
This is the part I love about you is... Is you like you're like, I don't like, you said this last time and I was like, yeah, I don't like those terms, and I fully agree with you of this. Everything is about labeling. This is and this goes into what you're going to talk about a little bit today, because you did a series, or you're doing a series, on psychological, essentially, warfare, mind games, etc., propaganda. This is what it's labels. This is partially how they do this, correct?
Yeah, it is. And then getting us all to be like at each other's throat, right? It's so unhealthy for us, because 80% of us, if you just get rid of Democrat, Republican, get rid of left, right, and you just have discussions on issues, 80% of us would agree to solve an issue and just move forward. And we debate and everything else and come out with something good. But as soon as you start putting these labels on, everybody fights and nothing happens. And that's by design, right? It's so bad. But what happens with this transgender thing is that you end up having all the people who are triggered by it fighting these things and making it so that these people need to change, you know, they shouldn't be gay and all these other things. And then it's sucking the whole gay and lesbian thing into it when transgender shouldn't even be about that. So it's hurting. It makes these people even more, so they get triggered. The people who accept the transgender thing gets triggered by these guys, as you guys are just anti-bigot, you're bigots and everything else. And then nothing gets solved.
Right.
And I don't even know why we got on this topic, but I spent the week dealing with some of this. So and we love people, right? We want these people to accept themselves for who they are, and they're not. And how do we get through this? And it's such a top-down evil agenda. I was watching this thing 10 years ago about how Iran, the Middle East, believe it or not, has led the world in transgender services and surgeries. And this is what I learned when there was this, traffic. What do you call it? Yeah. You know, when you talk about, this is unknown. When you talk about, I did a whole show about 10 years ago on vacation healthcare, where people go to other countries to get their healthcare done because it's so much cheaper there and they're better at it than in whatever country they're in, especially the United States. It's so expensive. So people go to other countries where they're better at it.
There's clinics all over the world, Mexico, other places, because you can't do it here.
You can't do it here, but then it's less expensive and they're better at it, right?
Yep.
So depending on what it is, and different places in the world are better at different things. But transgender surgeries are best, I don't know about now, but this was 10 years ago, were best in the Middle East. And the reason why, you know why? Is because they don't believe in gay people. They say nobody's gay. And so they pretty much force people to get transgender surgeries. They didn't want gay people in their society. They got transgender surgeries. They couldn't reproduce, and they were forced to be the sex that they think they are. That's what they thought. To me, that's as bigoted and discriminatory as it gets. How is that?
So they view it as putting an end to the confusion. So they're going to let the person make their decision for them, so that they're not stuck in this weird middle ground, which they don't believe is, you know, it's almost illegal in their world.
Yes. And so that's what they did. And plus, then they don't have to reproduce and they don't pollute the, you know, it's horrible. I think that's horrible.
It's so messed up.
Yeah, it's horrible. But how is that any different than what they're subjecting these kids to, or these people to, in this backward psychological screwed up way? I think it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's I always, This is kind of what I've adopted is we live in a world, universe, dimension, whatever the hell we want to call it at this point, of duality, where we all want to see black and white. And I don't know about you, but I mean, and I can only attest to this through my spiritual journey, my age, I guess, maturing, being a combination of things, right? Where my 20s, I was black and white on every issue. Like, I'm either polarized over here, polarized over there. And now at like 46 and a dad and, you know, going through my own journey, I'm like, the world really is just full of gray. Like, you can still have some spots where you're like, yeah, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not taking a COVID vaccine. However, I can see the gray. I can see where people demanded an answer. They demanded a solution. Not saying it's right or wrong. Like, obviously, I don't think it's right. But what are you going to tell a whole world that believes in a vaccine? They believe in public health. They believe that they're going to die. You know, like, again,
which
not
was
my choice.
The PSYOP.
Right. However,
but yeah.
Yeah, like, so when President Trump comes out, not to get off the subject, but when he comes out and he's like, you know, you have a choice and we had to do it for people. I don't like his choice. However, if you look at the public's view of it, 75% of people were terrified and they want a pharmaceutical product because that's what they've been brainwashed into. They want something that will fix this right away. You're not going to convince them of natural health. You're not going to convince them of natural immunity. They want a solution now, and they want their businesses open back up. I can't fix that.
The sad part was there were solutions like chlorine dioxide 100%. And some of these other things that they banned and censored. Right. So the whole brainwashing PSYOP to solve that when you have 75% of the people who are freaked out was to allow them to have it. I can handle that a little bit. I'm not sure. I don't like it because I think we were caving into their battle, right? The evil battle of censoring things that would have worked and dealing with the PSYOP of CNN all day long talking about the deaths. But I can handle that I can see that, the gray behind that. That's why I'm kind of, I don't know. I think there's some bad things here, but I don't know. You know what I mean? Well, I don't know. I kind of see how you can make those decisions.
So I saw a little bit of your interview with Mike Adams and stuff and Fifth Generational Warfare. And I use this as an example too, which is, you know, and you've seen this out there like on X and stuff. I've been in the nanotechnology world for quite a while. I actually backed out of it a little bit because the insanity of the black and white over this, they're going to control everybody through nanotech and mind control and psychological, like, yes, but I have a 10-year-old. I dare anybody out there to show me how, unless you're going to be the Waltons and you're going to live in or Little House in the Prairie, like, we live in a modernizing world where kids are going to be taught via, sometimes there's online stuff and there's courses and things you got to teach a kid. So like my 10-year-old wants to design t-shirts. Well, she's not going to go to a print shop and do the old school, put prints down or whatever. Like, so I don't want her on YouTube. I don't want her to stuff, but I also can't not let her, like, we have to, instead of holding all technology away from our kids, we have to empower them. Like you as a business owner, right? Like we're business owners as well. I can't stop my kid from knowing how tech works. Like, I use technology. I'm using technology right now, right? So there's this duality again. You can't stop them from using it. So what do? Let's empower them. Let's teach them. Let's use it for good, because I'm not going to go live in the middle of nowhere. It's just not going to happen.
Well, tech isn't by itself bad.
I agree. But most people are making it that way, Sarah.
They're making it bad. Yeah. And tech could be, I mean, I have a computer science degree from, you know, engineering degree, and my kids do too. You know, I'm like, I want them to learn. The whole world's running on this, right? The largest corporations in the world now are all big tech. Sure. The whole world has changed. The structure of the world has changed, people. It's no longer the geopolitics that you used to run 20 years ago. The world has changed and we need to catch up to it. And they're fighting an old system instead of the way the new system really runs. The top 15 companies in the world are all big tech, except Saudi Aramco, which is only one, and they're not even in the top three anymore. And so, I mean, let that sink in. The oil companies, not even in the top three.
And NVIDIA is a $3 trillion market cap.
Well, and so is Apple.
And Apple's right behind it.
Well, Apple reached $3 trillion.
Did they hit it?
Yes.
Okay.
And they might have decreased, but they hit it before NVIDIA did.
But a $3 trillion market cap, that's insanity.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they hit $2 trillion and now NVIDIA's at $3 trillion. Okay, I got it. I'm like, okay. But anyways, they're massive, okay? And the point is that the world has never seen, and I don't know how you can grow a trillion in a year anyways. That's
you know. It's called inflation. No,
that's
you're
called
right.
Inflation.
Apple is 3.47, NVIDIA is 3.16. You're right.
Yeah, Apple's bigger. Yeah, Apple's and bigger. So they hit $3 trillion before NVIDIA did. And I just you had to correct me on whether it was $2 or $3 trillion. It's crazy. I did a whole conference presentation on the size of big tech, the big four, I was calling it, and that was before NVIDIA was in the big four, and now they are. But the point is that they're all the big tech companies are moving up. The whole world structure has changed, and all these old political pundits and all these people that people listen to on geopolitical strategies, they don't have a clue about big tech. Big tech has taken over the world. Mm-hmm. The entire world structure has changed, and we need to understand it. Google controlling everything, this control grid, we need to understand it because the world has changed, people. It's no longer big oil and all pharmaceuticals and, you know, car companies. It's changed. And until you realize that, you're going to be fighting an old paradigm and you're obsolete. You need to get into the new paradigm, period, end of story. And I'm sorry to be the messenger of that, but that's the way it is. But the thing is that technology isn't, it's just like a gun. Guns sure. aren't bad or good. It's a tool.
It's the
technology.
User.
And yeah, Google could be good, but they are not. They've decided to go the right. dark side. You can allow people to flourish and grow. We're communicating on a network, right? The world, without big tech, without the internet, I wouldn't have learned all the stuff I've learned over the last 15, 20 years. I wouldn't be the person I am today learning about all these truths that I didn't even know. I'd still be a child, essentially, in my mind. And that has, a lot of us have grown up because of the internet. We're learning and we're seeing reality differently because I'm learning from others. This is a way to free everyone. We just have to we have to understand that. And so turning it off and becoming insular again is not the answer. It's using the tools so that we can flourish and grow and become more connected with the world and not allow the negative part to affect us.
I completely agree. I mean, I am now invested, literally invested in AI in certain, I'm using AI literally every day. And I have people who are like, why would you ever do that? That's like the beast system. I'm like, oh, back up. First of all, I took that position first. I became polarized on it. I'm like, not doing any of it. And then I have friends who are doing it. So I reached out to them. I'm like, guys, aren't you a little worried about that? They're like, first of all, are you going to not do it? Like the whole world is literally going to this. So, and then I had to take a step back and go, okay, I'm polarized on this. I have a fear on this. Let me get out of that fear. And I was like, you know what? It's a technology, right? Like, let me go learn about it. I learned about it. As soon as I started learning about it, Sarah, I was like, this stuff is amazing. Now, I'm not going to take it as gospel. I'm going to use it as a tool, and then I'm going to look at it, learn from it, see what it's doing, have my own mindset, et cetera. Now that I'm in it and I see how it is, but then see how you can use it, this tool is so genius. Obviously, you have to know what you're doing with it, but I mean, within 5 years, probably faster, AI is, it's going to run. I mean, every business, I mean.
For sure. Yeah. And I was back in the early 90s, most of what AI, the majority of what it is, that's what I was doing, right? And a lot of people call what I was doing AI now. I didn't even think of it as, I still don't think of it as AI. I think of it as data mining and sophisticated, data structures to language models. I think, but that itself is so powerful that people don't realize. Now, there's only a small percent of capabilities where they've taken it beyond that and getting into machine learning and really using it to where the AI itself learns from itself. That is, right. That's just a small percentage. And that is very interesting. And it's not what everybody's experiencing. Okay. But what they're experiencing is incredibly powerful. And it's amazing. I remember back in the early 90s, I'm like, God, we could be 50 years in the future. I was thinking, I didn't think the negative side. I was just seeing the positive side. I was like, holy crap. And I was just kind of evangelizing over it back then. And nobody really knew what I was talking about. And I got promoted pretty quick in my environment. And I was talking to the president of the organization. I'm like, oh my God, this is the enterprise, which was the advanced network. And we had upwards of 90, I always say 75% of the frame relay market, which is the backbone of the internet. We really had almost 90%. Everyone wanted to work with us. And I was like, we could be 50 years in the future. And I was talking about all these things that were going on. Essentially, that's what Google is doing now, but they decided to take the evil side instead of the light side. That's what pisses me off so much, because I know the power of what they have. I know it inherently, and they've decided to be evil instead of deciding to help humanity. And if we were smart, we would put a red line and say that behavior can't exist in a civilized society. We have to go towards a pro-human thing. And we need smart, intellectual, pro-human people to ensure that we're moving in that direction. And I think it's happening now. I think that's what's happening now. But this has so much power to, like I was talking to Mike Adams, he's working on AI system to help.
Yep, I have his AI systems on my laptop. I'm still playing with it.
To come up with solutions for medical issues, because then you can access all the things that are out there. You might get 50 examples and then you can kind of peruse through it and see what one works the best. Things that you didn't know existed, and you don't have the mental time to go through and find all 50 options. And this thing can do it for you. And then it can help you figure out what the side effects is. It can help you do things that you could do if you had hours and hours and hours of time, but you don't.
Experience the groundbreaking advancements of Leela's quantum technology, now backed by over 40 placebo-controlled studies conducted by elite institutions and renowned universities worldwide. This revolutionary technology surpasses previous achievements, as confirmed by prestigious organizations such as the Emoto Institute in Japan. Scientific investigations reveal that Leela's technology not only enhances blood health and circulation, but also neutralizes the adverse effects of electromagnetic fields, expedites wound healing, and elevates ATP production in human cells. Embrace the extraordinary benefits of Leela's tech as recognized and utilized by world-class athletes, esteemed functional medicine practitioners, and leading figures in the field of biohacking. Explore a range of transformative products, from the Heal capsule, shielding you from harmful EMFs, to the Quantum Block, allowing you to infuse frequencies into your cherished possessions. Dive into the realm of innovation and wellness at sarahwestall.com/shop or by following the link below.
I'm in healthcare. I tell people all the time now with AI, now that I'm in, right? And now that I see it, I told my wife the other day, I go, this is going to change everything. And she's like, what do you mean? Because she hasn't been studying it. I go, when I'm with somebody, a patient, like, let's just use like us, right? In my head, I have handfuls of product lines that we use, that we trust at a very high level, like supplementation and things like that. I go, so when I have somebody and they have a problem, or if I'm doing some testing on them, in my head, I have, let's say, 5 options pop into my mind, right? Now, that doesn't mean there can't be more if I start studying more, but I have 5 options. Okay, what if I can take all the data they have, all the blood testing they've gotten, all the diagnostic testing they got? What if I could take all that? I'm not bypassing myself. What if I take all of that data and I plug it into a system that is programmed with all the stuff we use plus even more stuff? And what if I can have that spit out 30 options? Not because my mind wasn't powerful enough. I just can only go off the knowledge base that I have. I can now look at those 30 options. I can learn more from the AI, and I can also find a faster, better, more efficient solution for them as well. In that world, that doesn't take me out of the system. that makes me better while also getting them better help more fast and more efficiently, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely makes sense. That's the proper use of it. What they're going to do is take my profession is going to automate your profession, and they're going to take the doctor out of it, and they're going to create hell on earth.
Right.
Based on what they want people, everybody takes a COVID shot, for example, and their technocracy, that can't happen. That we're like, no, that's not happening. We're moving in this direction, which you eloquently just described. That's how you properly use it so that we can be better and humanity can flourish, not so we can stifle and make sure that Big Pharma makes a bunch of money. That's what they're going to try to do. And that's not the right way to use the technology. But we need more people who actually give a crap and are smart enough to understand what we're dealing with to make sure it goes. And the problem is that too many people have been brainwashed, or these people who are running around talking about antitrust because they're in the world from 30 years ago, they have no idea what the world is today. And so they're making it difficult for the rest of us to create a pro-human world. But we just have to say, enough. We're going in. What Mike Adams did, and he just said, enough. I'm creating this system that's a pro-human medical, you know, that you're using mm-hmm. that helps people with good solutions. We need more of that. And then that will change our world in the direction we need to go in and just reject the rest of it. Just flat out reject it. We're not using it. It's hurting too many people. We're going in this direction.
No, absolutely. I find something interesting too, because you and I think very similar. But I look at all your stuff, I'm like, oh, we're on the same page. I've been following Cliff for some time. I've been following Future Forecast. I have such an affinity for the Future Forecasting Group. Like, I got to get Dick somehow, because like I love watching Dick Allgaier. But they're talking about language models, and I know you've looked into this a little bit as well. And I think I actually believe this actually fits perfectly into the consciousness aspect. But where do you, with you've looked at this far more than I have because you've talked to those guys. Where do you see this going over, like, let's just say the next year? Because I think that's where people are. I don't think people can see 5-10 years out. I don't think, because I think most people right now, 75% of the country is in essentially panic or mode, literally, because from a financial standpoint, they're struggling. People are having problems. They might be spending, but they don't necessarily have it, right? So they're looking very short term. How do they survive on a daily basis, right? What do you see? Because I know, like, next week or something like that, I think they have a quote unquote emotional release moment that could potentially be happening. Talking to them and seeing that world from your viewpoint, where do you see this next year playing? What does it look like in your eyes?
Well, I'm going to talk about two things.
That's fine.
I just had a show with Roman and crew who were born with a mutation where they can see the energies. You got to listen to them talk about it. I mean, they were really different. Their parents had to raise them differently. They didn't know what the world, what we were like or what we saw, because they saw the world differently. They could see the energies. And so I wanted to do a show. We had this, I don't know why I had a need to do a show with them, but they had a need to do a show with me kind of at the same time, which is kind of weird because that happens to me a lot.
Is this your latest one that's up here? Is that it?
The latest one I did. Okay. I did that on purpose to follow with what's going on with the event with Cliff High and the remote viewers, Dick Allgaier and Edward and Daz Smith. I love those guys. I love all of those guys. They're just wonderful people. And what they're seeing from people who can actually feel the energy. One thing Philip said, because he was on the show with this brilliant man, he said there's a difference between a lot of these psychics who have very little skill, who's out there making a lot of money at it and talking about it, compared to like Roman and crew who have just immense experience and skill with this. They're not out there pushing the wear. They understand the world as it is. And so they're just different about it. Okay. And so they get, you know, doctors and people reaching out to them all the time, trying to figure out what's really going on, but they're different. They take their responsibility of what they're seeing in the world differently because they truly have the skill.
Right.
That makes sense. Right. When you truly have the skill, you just see the world differently. And what they're saying is that Cliff and the remote viewer gang are right. Mm-hmm. That there truly is an energy increase. And actually, we're in it right now. It's not climaxed. We're in it right now. And it's been like this
for the record.
Yeah. And it's not the, it's not like it's reaching a crescendo. We're at the crescendo. What Cliff and the remote viewers are seeing is a release, because at some point you need to release that.
Right.
And so that will happen. But what they're saying is that we're kind of at a precipice, because for the first time in history, first time in their life, that they saw the good side. And, you know, they call it good versus evil, which isn't really correct when it comes to energy. It's not really correct, but it matches essentially with what's going on, and it matches, you know, the Bible story and stuff, but it's not entirely correct when it comes to the universe and how the world works, but it's close enough. Mm-hmm. And they said that the good energy has stopped playing the game. They just said, I'm done. I'm not playing anymore. And so they left the field almost. It's like having a basketball game and one opponent stops, because the way the world works is the good's always fighting the evil,
right,
and we're always fighting each other. And that's how supposedly we develop. And they're saying that the good just said, I'm done. I'm not playing this game anymore. And that is going to cause
pick a new game, a better game that's more fun, that actually helps humanity. And just, we're not playing anymore. We're done.
We're done. And that is the rise in consciousness that's about to happen.
Beautiful
is what they're saying. Yeah. And so we as humans have a decision. We can allow the rise of consciousness not to happen by how we react to what's going to happen now, because the evil side has almost, now they can do what, I mean, we don't know what they're going to unleash, because we're no longer playing that game. But that has released our energy. Instead of using our energy fighting the old system and fighting this negative, it's released us to build the new. Okay, that building the new is the rise in consciousness. That's what they're trying to explain to us. So, but we have a decision. We can turn backwards and keep fighting this old, or we can build the new. And if we build the new, the rise in consciousness happens. Yep. That's what they're trying to explain to us. It was really a cool show. But yeah, I don't know I don't know how many people understood what they were trying to explain to us, but that's what they were in. And they speak German, especially Roman. And to get the nuances, he had to have a translator, although he can understand what I'm saying. He just, to get the nuances and articulate it well, he wanted a translator. And Crew speaks better English, but she was trying to explain it too. But that, I think I explained the essence here almost better
isn't
than
that. Isn't
that
like isn't that like fighting a bully? You can fight the bully all, you can fight the bad guy all day long, to a point where you're just like, this is stupid, and the only way to beat them is to walk away.
That's right. And that's what's going on, and that's the precipice of the increase in consciousness. That's what's happening in an energy level that's going to cause it. But we still have a decision point here on whether we are going to fully embrace the increase in consciousness now, or we have to wait until another you know, precipice point, or we're going to turn back in and fight. And I mean, that's our decision as humanity. It's not just us two talking about it. It's like, are we as a human race going to do this? And I think we will. I think that's the point.
I think we win from that standpoint. I think enough people. Yeah. I think you're even losing. I mean, I think one of their big things is they'll set off false flags, because that's what they do. And I think they're going to. I think they're going to destroy the financial system to try to put everybody in the fear. I think that comes either before election or post election, and we as the good guys are just going to have to not react to it and move on. Which I don't know what that looks like yet, but, you know, moving on. Like, well, okay.
That we're moving on. And, you know, my series on mind control and propaganda, it goes really good with the show that I did to balance that out, to for people to understand, because you need to see through this propaganda. You need to see through the mind control in order to move on. You have to. You have to see through that this is really happening. And it's happening at a frequency level. It's happening not only at the stuff that's obvious that we see, but the stuff that's invisible. I mean, people are really being messed with frequency, and they don't know it. And that's why they're subconsciously doing stuff that is that they wouldn't normally do if they could think through it properly. And so we are being bombarded with this. We have to see through it so that we can take this leap into this new future that that's ours. And so the combination of the series and that show was the world just, I don't know, God, the universe gave that to me. And it's an important combination. And you see it inherently. When you first came on the show, you started seeing things before I even said a word. You say we won. And you were going through, but you were essentially articulating this concept.
My, I'm going to send you some documents afterwards that I've been looking through. And so I have a strange way of looking at this. And we all have our own sources yep. of where we come from, right? I actually come from this from a chiropractic standpoint. You and I have discussed this regarding stuff behind the scenes and like frequencies and energies, et cetera. And like, I've been studying consciousness for a long period of time. And I'll be honest with you, there was a time 2 years ago, even maybe into last year, where I was doing shows and I love what I do. The show got to be like I was kind of like done mentally, if that makes sense.
No, it does.
Yeah. And I was just like, and my wife's like, are you like, you want to keep doing it? I'm like, I do. I want to help people. But not the news, but like the energies with the news, I go, like, I don't see a way out of this. Like, you know, I know I believe in really good stuff coming, but like, I just don't, like, how does this break? And honestly, I think it started like right after this new year started. Just a couple different things happened that I was like, oh my God, I see it. We've won. Now, when I say we won, it doesn't mean we have to stop working. I just, the consciousness made a turn.
Go ahead.
Right.
Yeah.
The energy I go, I see. And now I will be honest with you. Some of this comes from listening to Trump talk. So as I tell everybody, as a doctor, when people come into my office, my job is to essentially keep my mouth shut and listen to them talk. And I'm listening for keywords. I'm listening for things. I'm listening for indicators. I'm like, I listen to the whole thing, but like really when someone talks, if they speak for 30 minutes, there's about 5 minutes or less in there where you get like the nuts and bolts of what they're actually trying to say. Right.
Yep. Yep.
And when you listen to Trump speak, and again, I am not a fan of everything he does, but I am a fan in general of him and what he's trying to accomplish for America. He says things that I'm like, I know where he's going with this. And right now, I'll tell you, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but he has stated several times now that we are starting the 250th year celebration of America in May of 2025, and it's going to go until July 4th of 2026. And he said it's going to be a year celebration for America. And I go, he's not saying that for no reason. He has the victory up his sleeve, whether something still has to go or not. And then do you know the name Judy Shelton?
I've heard that name, but I don't know.
So Judy Shelton was his nominee to be the Fed chairman back in 2017.
Okay, yeah, that's why I know the name. Yeah.
She is a gold bug. She's a gold standard personality. There's a great clip out there of her saying, we should have a gold standard in a cryptocurrency sort of way. And I was like, ooh, those are interesting words. She retweeted probably a month or so ago, somebody was talking about a gold standard. Literally, like some random person on Twitter was saying something about a gold standard and how this would work. She retweeted it. And she said, 2026, something like it's coming. And I go, that's Judy Shelton. Judy Shelton is in the room with the most powerful financial people in the world. She is in Trump's corner. She was the nominee. When she says gold standard in 2026, she's not just saying that because that's her opinion. She is involved somehow in this whole thing. So little things like that, like, hit me hard. And I'm like, this is good. Like, we are on the right track.
Well, I think that they don't have an option. I think they have to move in this direction because there's too many people waking up and saying enough and too many smart people who get it and saying, and billionaires who are saying, I don't want this either for my family because they're not protected either. And that's what I try to tell people. I don't care if you're a billionaire, you're in it just like I am. We're all in it. there might be a few this is just a few elite group who are doing this to the rest of us. So you're not safe either. And so that's the pressure and the intelligence, and people from all over the place who are getting it are saying, this is no, we're not going in that direction. So I think they lost the energy level. Why they lost is because there's too many people who get it, who are saying no.
I would agree.
We're moving. Yeah. I would agree. And too many powerful people who are smart enough to understand. And they realize that they might have been playing the game for a long time, but they realized they weren't in the good old boys club either. You know? Right. It's like, right. You're not part of it. Even though they thought they were, because they're a billionaire, they realized, I'm not either.
Right. Did it pique your interest at all when Trump in the last month stated, in your business owner, when he said no taxes on tips and basically take away the federal income tax? Did that stuff make you like go, wait a second, that's fascinating?
Well, the Fed, I think, yeah, because he's saying that what everybody knows who studies it, that the only people that are required to pay federal income taxes are those who live in Washington, D.C. and are a civilian or a resident of Washington, D.C. The rest of us aren't required from a constitutional standpoint. Right. And in fact, if you don't pay your taxes and you put on there, I'm not required to, the IRS will come back and eventually they'll fight you for a while. They'll eventually agree with you and you clear it. I've known way too many people who've done that and they have to allow you not to pay. That's the crazy part. And so what Trump's doing is he's being honest.
Would you ever take that battle on yourself? People ask me all the time. They're like, why don't you just not pay? And I go, because at the end of the day, I got a family, I have a kid. I'm not taking on the attorney expense. Two, got businesses. I have a life. Like I'll just do better. And until this thing breaks, I'm not taking on that risk myself.
I think that's really important for those of us who are high profile, that we're not made into an example because we screw up some technicality. I am currently working through an attorney to figure out how to do that, because if I work through an attorney, then I am not criminally liable. And so they can't go after me criminally and they can't make me into an example. And they fix the legal process anyways against people, right? And so you can't trust the legal system right now. And so even though average Americans are, what I said is true and that's happening, they could use a high profile person. Look what they're doing to Hunter Biden. They're going after him for drug use, which, you know, to prove that, and they're going after him for tax evasion. They're not going after him for all the treasonous activity that he did, which is really the nuts and bolts of what this thing is.
You gotta get him on RICO.
That we care about, right? We care about that. Instead, they're going after taxes and the drug stuff. They're doing that to send an example to the rest of the country. That's what they're doing. It's a propaganda exercise instead of it being what we want and need it. So our justice system is so incredibly broken. It's incredible. I mean, it's just because this entire situation we're in could self-correct if the justice system was functioning.
No, 100%.
It's not functioning. Yeah. And so I don't want to put myself into a justice system that's evil. I don't know the better word for it. It's just not good, right? It's going to lie and create problems and then come up with some technicality. But if I have a lawyer do it for me, they can't go after me criminally. And we should win in court if I don't do it. So that's what I'm pursuing. I think an everyday person can do the other option. And the stats show that if you file and screw it up, you're thousands, I don't know the percent, but a lot more likely to get audited filing than not filing. That's the stats. But I am not the person to listen to, because I, like you, have been afraid. I mean, I don't want to be made an example of. Right. And I have a family and I have a husband and I have all these things. Now that my kids are grown, I can do some more risk. But then again, I'm using an attorney so that I am not criminally liable. But I think an average person can do it. And I've seen too many people come back with the IRS saying, you're right, you don't owe any taxes, and zero it out. Too many people. So I know it's true.
Very fascinating. Very interesting. Really good stuff. So your series that you're doing, how many part series is this?
It's a 10 part series, and I hope people go and watch it. The 10th episode is airing today, right okay. now.
And is this on your main channel on Rumble?
No, it's on Bright. I partnered with Brighteon. So it's on Brighteon okay, University. Yeah. So you can go to brightu.com and watch it now. And the 10th episode is playing today. Tomorrow, all 10 episodes will play again. So if you missed any of the episodes, you can watch it all tomorrow. Otherwise, you can download the digital. You have to register to be able to see it.
Yep.
But you can download you can pay and you can download and see it all. There's like 15 hours of material. There's a bunch of bonus material and then all the episodes. And if you decide to download it, that helps pay for the cost of putting this thing together, which was a lot of work. And then, helps pay for the platform. But otherwise, it's been free for the last 10 days. And it's ran for 11 days, 10 episodes plus a rerun of all the episodes, all free. And then if you missed one or whatever, you can always buy one. There's two packages, which is the full digital and all the bonus material, which is I have a bonus episode with Bill Binney, who is used to yep. be a high-level NSA. He's a whistleblower. And then I also have one with Dr. Robert Epstein, who is doing all the foremost at doing the research on the social media companies. And then I have another one with Mariana Miratato, which is probably the best dialogue or best talk about how she's being targeted. It's the best one I've ever seen. And it was her testimony of being a targeted individual. And then I have a bunch of other bonus material there as well. And then you get a free month for trial of the quantum service, which is up to $50 value. So you can get that as well to see if that works for you. And then there's another package where you get the EMF devices that Hope and Tavon have, which EMFs don't have to be bad for your body. There is a solution where correct. They can make it, they can keep it. Well, these will absorb and also will change it so that it harmonizes with your body mm-hmm. and you can feel it right away. I can feel it right away. Like if I put the sleeping pod right here on my chest, I just immediately can feel it. If you're sensitive, you'll feel it. If you're not at all, then I don't know. But
think women are more sensitive, not to be sexist, but because my wife is the same way as you are. She feels it right away. I feel it, but it's a little, I have a different feel on it. She's like you, like immediately.
Well, and I don't know if that's sexist
well, no, just because I know, cause some guys, some guys are going to be like, I feel it right away. And I find that women tend to be a little bit more intuitive on that, I think.
Yeah. And it's a gift and a curse, right? Especially when we're surrounded with EMS. Right. I mean, but all of us are affected by it. It shows up in our blood work, right? It shows up in our blood actually changes. And the quantum service, their service, they have multiple or 60 different peer reviewed studies with really well done studies on placebo, based randomized blind studies with really good independent labs showing how your blood changes from the EMF, like just your baseline. All of us, our blood is kind of screwed up. And then they subject it to more EMFs directly. And then it shows the coagulation of the blood almost immediately happens. And then being subjected to the quantum Leela Q service, mm-hmm. it's better than the baseline. Your blood, it becomes healthy. And so you can see if it works for you and if you can feel it. But that's a free, it's a free trial for a month. You can try it out and it has upwards of a $50 value. So, because there's different packages that you can decide, and one of them is $50. So you can get that or you can get the EMF devices too. There's two different packages. And like me, on the sleeping pod, I'll sleep with it right on my chest when I feel when I can't sleep or whatever, I'll just grab it and put it right here so that it just calms me down. If it works for you, it's amazing. But what I was saying is the EMF frequencies, they could put something that right at the exit point of these telecommunication companies, they could change the mm-hmm. frequency so it harmonizes with our bodies at output. And so the whole world could have harmonizing frequencies and we could solve that problem immediately. But they have to get it. They have to understand what the hell is going on, and they don't get it yet. And so those are solutions that are at our fingertips if we decide we care about humanity.
Wouldn't it be nice to work? Wouldn't it be nice to have all of our technology and it actually is helping people and bodies and physiology and cells versus tearing it
down. That's right.
Wouldn't it be nice? I mean, I love all the products that we have in Hope and Tavon and products that I promote and things like that. I love that we have people who are innovative and create these solutions, but wouldn't it also be nice not to have to constantly battle the bad guys?
Then we can focus on other things. I mean, there's so many other things we could do. And that's the whole point, focusing on the bad. But the series also explains the frequencies that are going on and nice. With proof and experiments and everything else so that by the time you're done, you should know without a doubt that these frequency technologies are not only there, they're implemented and they're out there and they're targeting all of us, but they're doing it to different degrees and depending on who you are and what, you know, how they're targeting us. But I also talk about the size of the industry, you know, the neural manipulation techniques. It used to be, you know, 4 decades ago, they had 4 university programs. Now there's over 200 programs and think tanks and other countries all have them now too. And almost, you know, all the major government institutions are funding it. And nonprofits are all funding this research and they're all black and top secret. It's the largest industry that nobody knows about. And it is real.
So how as a busy person, because I know how you operate, how crazy was it for you to be doing your regular show and then doing this project on top of it?
It was almost burnout factor. It was almost like at the end of this, I am done.
Is your husband a type A personality too or no?
Yeah, he's the coolest person. I'm so lucky to have him. He understands. He's just very organized and very caring. Oh, and good. I am so fortunate to have him.
Yeah.
But he gets it. Yeah. And I'm very fortunate to have the family I have. But you know, I wasn't always nice because I was doing too much.
I understand.
You know, it is what it is when you're doing that much. You sometimes crack.
No, I totally get it. I say all the time, I'm like, man, because if I had jumped into that, I know there's a lot of people out there like, oh my gosh, I don't know how you have the time to do all this. I'm same here. If I didn't have my wife and she wasn't the way she was, like this would, I don't know if I could pull this all off. Like she understands the projects. I understand her projects. It is so important to have a support system and family around you that actually gets you because this becomes your whole life. I mean, this is what you do every day, all day.
Yeah. And it's hard. Like how we started, we're kind of ending where we started. I mean, you're alienated. And so if your family doesn't support you in that process and get you, and you're always fighting with, you're a quack or you don't get, they understand, they get what you're doing and they understand the importance of what you're doing and how it's pro-human. I mean, how fundamentally important it is for society. I mean, I feel that this series is one of the most important things, period, that I've ever done in my life, if not the, you know, most, as far as helping the world and getting us to understand where this is at. And not having a supportive family that understands your work is so important would, not in a narcissistic way, but in a, you know, because we're sacrificing ourselves a lot. It's almost like we're a soldier on the front lines fighting for our country.
We are both soldiers, obviously not in a physical war. That's with right. Guns. We are soldiers. And I've come to accept this. So I'm not trying to speak out and like put myself above our veterans and everything else in our military, but we are in the psychological, spiritual mind info war. That's what we're doing.
That's exactly right. And it's when you step out, like we said at the very beginning, it's very hard because we take a lot of bullets. We take a lot of spiritual bullets from others who aren't there yet. And it's too far. And so we're called all sorts of names. We're talked about. We're, you know, it's not as bad as it was when I first started doing the coverage on human trafficking. I mean, like I was telling John Paul Rice, we're both at the front of that. And I saw how the world has changed since then. And I feel that, in such a positive way, how it's changed. When we first covered it, it was like shooting into the abyss. It was dark, right? Nobody. And I was getting emails. I was getting calls from human traffickers. I was getting emails that I'm insane. I mean, it was just, and I'm like, I can't not cover this because there's too much, this is horrible, right? And now the whole world has come a long way, and it's so thankful. It's not my calling to be on the front lines helping the abuse victims. Other people have stepped up and realized that's their calling. And our job was to expose it so that the people whose calling it was would come forward, and they've been coming forward. And so it's the same thing. Our job is to bring this to the consciousness so all those people with the calling can come forward and help find these solutions, because I don't have all the solutions. We just don't. They always say, you want, and I'll give you as many solutions as I could possibly come up with and think about, because that's so important. But the solutions is going to come from all the people out there who suddenly get it and go, this is my calling. I need somebody inside the organization who they see that's doing it, who becomes a cog that screws it up, or some billionaire with the funds that go, oh my God, my family and me are going to be affected by this too. I have the means to do this. Those are the people we're trying to reach, because they have solutions that I haven't even thought of, and we haven't thought of. And so our goal is to reach them so that the whole consciousness can raise, just like it did with human trafficking. And so, you know, we're on this journey together and we're fighting it, but as consciousness, and it's so rewarding. I can't tell you how far we've gone in the human trafficking. When we started back in 2016, it was dark, man. It was bad. And where we are today, it's still dark because it's still happening and we need to solve it. But it's at a whole new uplifting point, because more people see it, more people are fighting it. And so that's my
awesome
little
work,
two cents.
Awesome work. Everybody go to brightyou.com, brightyou.com, register for that. Check that out. Also go over to, you can go to sarahwestall.com. You can go to Rumble and type in Sarah Westall. That's Sarah Westall. Your stuff is top notch, top of the line. Appreciate everything you're doing, Sarah.
Thank you so much. And same to you. You're just, there's so few people that, are up in front who are just getting their butt kicked. I really appreciate it. You know,
every day I'm like, can you feel, I go, what's the Schumann's resonance look like today? Because I'm like, it's a good day. Everything's going well, but I'm getting my ass kicked over here.
I know. Oh my God. That's why I liked your intro about having bravery. And I always talk about having courage. You know, you'd say being brave. I always say courage, which is courage, essentially the same word. And it's the same word. And it's you have to have courage, and then you have to have a really thick skin. And the thing is, it's not even that. It's like you have to see, it's like the love for your child where you do it no matter what, because you have to. And you have to have that in mind, because you wouldn't take the abuse if you didn't know that we don't have a choice. I don't think we have a choice. We have to do this.
No, it's that God calling, honestly. Because I mean, I've been asked, like, how do you want to do this? I go, honestly, guys, there's other stuff I could be doing. I go, but like, there's this voice in there that just says, keep going. There's something, not, I don't want to say a payoff, like a money thing. I go, but there's this voice that says you're needed, and there's this payoff that's coming. Not a payoff as in like, just, you're going to be rich. It's a payoff.
Money, yeah.
Like, this is a humanity payoff that you are required. You're sent here. And again, it's not like a narcissistic, like selfish thing. It's a, keep your ass in the game. Keep going. We got you. That kind of thing.
That's right. And I, you know, if people only knew how difficult some days are, you know, like I drive a lot, and you know, it's not, you know, I always say that's when I cry, is when I'm in my car by myself, because I'm thinking about stuff, and I cry for I don't like the fact that sometimes I can see all this stuff, because I can see what Google's doing. I can see where things could go if we don't fight this. And we like you said, we have to. And I just think that we're going to reach more people by keep coming out. We don't have all the solutions. We need help is the bottom line.
Yeah.
And we're getting it. We're getting it in other areas. And this series, I'm hoping we get it. We have to. The big tech is, we have to. And there's millions of people around the world who will understand what I'm saying and can be soldiers in this fight. And that's what we're going for.
We have here's full transparency.
Yes.
My wife has cried. I've cried. We've had our moments on the couch where we look at each other. My wife and I don't stop. So like, the couch is not a place we go to. where you're just like laying down and you go, you're all right? You're like, physically, I'm fine. I'm just exhausted. I'm spiritually, mentally exhausted. Like, give me my 15 minutes, half hour, whatever it is. I'll get back up because like, I got to keep going, but it's just that it's the mental, spiritual ass kicking that we're getting. And again, it's not a physical thing. Like all the good food, all the this, all the activity. It's just, it's this right here.
Absolutely. And then understanding the heaviness of what it is that we're fighting.
Right.
And taking it seriously because it is serious. But I think, like we said, we talked about prevailing. I think we're at a precipice, and I think humanity is going to, like you said, there's a payoff, and humanity is going to a new level, and we're just going to have a new equilibrium, which is mm-hmm. going to be better.
Yes.
Because there's that's the only thing that's acceptable.
Yep. Absolutely. Everybody, this is Sarah Westall. Go follow her. She's amazing. She's brilliant. She's genius. Just watch her stuff. That's all I'm telling you.
Thank you.
We are changing a society. We are literally rebuilding a new civilization. I say that all the time, everybody. So do your best to love, serve, and help. It's not always easy. Do the best you can. Have a happy Monday, everybody. For Sarah, I'm Dr. Jason D. This is Brave TV. Have a good day. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.